not on.
It's on, but it's not on?
It's on, but it's not on.
That was probably supposed to be West Coast.
That's on. I hear it.
We have one not working over here.
She's going to get you another one.
Morning, everybody.
You got it.
This is the Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting for December 4th, 2017. Before we start, Daniel DeYeer is going to be our acting recording secretary for today, or secretary today, because J.P. Steelman got moved up to be a commissioner, and so for this meeting, he's going to take care of it for us. As customary, we always do, I would like each member to introduce themselves, since we always have a lot of new people in the audience. Introduce yourself in agency and rank.
Good morning. Amado Cano, Deputy Chief of Operations for McAllen, Texas.
Daniel Buford, firefighter with the Bryan Fire Department.
Jason Collier, Assistant Chief, Highland Village Fire Department.
Daniel DeYeer, Deputy Chief, Dallas Fire Department.
Jim Reedy, Lieutenant in the San Antonio Fire Department.
Keith Schmidt, Fire Chief with the City of Gonzales.
Ken Swindle, Fire Chief, Crum, Texas.
Thank you. Do we have another one since they're sharing one? Do we have one for another microphone?
Actually, these are new mics. They are different mic.
Sensitive.
Yeah, so you really only need one per table. Yeah, it'll pick you both up.
Okay. Daniel?
Well, we've already done the roll call at 10:05. Item number two, adoption of the June 29th, 2017 Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting minutes.
I'm sure that everybody already reviewed the minutes, and so I'll take a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting minutes from June 29th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number three, report from the Curriculum and Testing Committee with discussion and possible action on recommendations regarding possible changes to the certification curriculum manual as follows. A, revised fire investigator curriculum, reference list, outline, and phase outline. B, revised reference list for Fire Officer 3 and Fire Officer 4. C, new certification, Fire and Life Safety Educator 1, overview, course instructor information, reference list, and outline. D, revised reference list for hazardous materials awareness, hazardous materials operations, hazardous materials operations mission-specific competencies, hazardous materials incident commander, and basic fire inspector.
Good morning, Grace.
Good morning. Grace Wilson, Curriculum Development Specialist. Is this working?
It may not be on.
I think it is. Tap it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so the fire investigator curriculum was revised. I guess we won't say updated because the NFPA standard for investigators is 1033, but what was updated was 921, and 1033 isn't due to be updated until 2021, but since most of the curriculum, a lot of the content comes from 921, the committee called me and said, hey, we need to get together and update this thing. So what you'll see in the curriculum is it really just reflects the changes to NFPA 921. So there's kind of a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of little changes, but it's just reflecting what was changed by the NFPA, if that makes sense.
It just reflects what's in another standard that we refer to anyway, so.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Is there any radical changes, Grace?
Section 2 is new. This didn't exist before. Well, there's a couple of members from the committee here. That's why I keep looking over at them. And I think that the purpose for adding this section, it's titled NFPA 1033, was just to draw attention to the fact that 1033 is actually really important. So for the instructors out there creating their courses, you know, we're going to be testing to 1033, even though a lot of this curriculum is based on 921.
Okay.
Okay. And think that's the only major thing that I wanted to bring your attention to. It's a lengthy document, so hopefully you had a chance to kind of review it.
And in the Section 5, the basic fire science section, mm-hmm. is that brand new or is that...
It's not brand new.
Okay. And so if any of the other members of the committee want to comment, if not, that's fine too. Because I heard you say you were looking at them, so...
5.1 was new, wasn't it? Isn't it basically new?
5.1? I'm not sure.
501, 5.1?
There were some new additions to 5.1. I don't think 5.1 itself was new.
But ostensibly, this is all driven by either 922 or 1033.
921, yeah.
Or 921, I mean, sorry.
Nothing is changing in 1033.
Not yet.
And 1033 is the stuff in the boxes that are gray, shaded gray. None of that has changed.
Okay.
So that's the curriculum itself. And then if you can flip over to the reference list, which is the next document. Now, the curriculum is 118 pages. So the page after that, if you look at the bottom, is the reference list. Kind of a lot of changes there. It's a long reference list, and so what we decided to do, the ad hoc committee decided, was to reduce the amount of things that are on the required reference list. And this was actually under the direction of the curriculum and testing committee. We wanted them to just keep the required portion of the reference list limited to things that, like the text that is going to be used for the test, if that makes sense. And then everything else was shifted and went over onto the recommended reference list.
I noted that we still have the Texas Code of Criminal, Texas Family Code, and so those are still on there. So mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. And then there were some, quite a few additional things put on the recommended references as well. And then I just was told a few minutes ago that on the first page of the reference list, the second reference down, it's Kirk's fire investigation, that apparently there's an eighth edition now. So I don't know if it's appropriate to change it at this time, but you could either update it right now and send it forth to the commission, or I'll come back to the next meeting and update it with you.
Well, one way or another, it's we're going to use it, right?
Yeah.
Well, so then I think we can probably update it today unless Andrew gives me a look. Okay.
Okay.
So let's change that to 8th edition.
Correct. Okay. He said the author is also different on that edition, but I'll make sure to get the correct info when it goes to the commission.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the reference list. And then next we have the outline and the phase outline. And those were just touched up a little bit here and there because we added that section number 2 on NFPA 1033. It just kind of shifted the hours a little bit. The total recommended hours has not changed. Just a little bit of numbers being played with.
I think that's a good addition, Grace.
Yeah. And same with the phase outline, just some shifting around. And I guess that's it. That's it for Fire Investigator.
Ostensibly, the total recommended hours are still the same.
Correct.
Sounds good.
Okay. Shall we keep going or just...
All at once, Andrew, or one at a time?
However you prefer.
Let's do one at a time. I'll entertain a motion to forward this on.
I'll make a motion to forward the
curriculum forward with the change of reference to the 8th edition.
And the new author.
And the new author.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Questions? You're an arson investigator, right, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
So, vetted by professionals. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Motion carries. Next.
Okay, so next we have the Fire Officer 3 and Fire Officer 4 reference list. And they're exactly the same, and they're just reflecting that the very first book on the list, Chief Officer Principles and Practices, there's a new edition that came out. So we're just updating just to reflect that.
Okay. Simple stuff. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, next is a new certification, Fire and Life Safety Educator Level 1. Level 2 is still under development, but this is what we have come up with for Level 1. And it's a voluntary certification, so a formal curriculum has not been created. We decided that we weren't going to be doing that anymore. So we have this new standard way of presenting it in the curriculum manual. We'll start with the overview, and it's just listing the definition of what the certification is, and the definition of a fire and life safety educator, and some information about how why there is no curriculum, and to please use the NFPA standard, which is 1035, to create your own curriculum if you're the course developer. And that's what the overview is about. And then we have the course instructor information, which it gives some outline of how the NFPA standard is broken down and how we use each part of the standard in our testing process. So with the requisite knowledge objectives of the standard being where we would have written test questions, and the requisite skills, that's where we come up with all of our performance skills and things like that.
And who's going to administer the skills exam and the testing?
Who?
So is that us?
Yeah.
It'll be done just like any of the others. Any kind of skills that might be involved would be done during the course by qualified field examiners.
Okay.
And then the written exam would be done just like any of the others.
Okay.
And then second to last document would be the reference list. And there's just a couple of items on that. It's pretty straightforward. And finally, the curriculum outline, which lists the recommended hours for the course.
Is this in line with what NFPA does? Hour-wise?
I don't know if NFPA recommends hours for a course. This was just decided upon by the ad hoc committee.
Okay.
Is there... under GFP standards manual, you've got chapter 4XX, is that?
Right, that's because I guess we don't have anything in the standards manual yet. So the rules are still not quite there.
You'll see those today, actually. So there is a chapter for that, so that can be completed. It is.
Does that make sense? Since it's a new certification.
459.
So if we approve it, can it be inserted later? At a later time?
Well, he's got the number, right? So we can
just
put 459.
Yeah, it will be 459. So we could make that change today. It's proposed rule language that you're going to see today that will likely get adopted in January by the commissioner. So
where did they come up with the on the skills evaluation for 12 students for their performance skills? Just a question.
Where did they come up with it?
Where did they come up with the number 12?
I think that it's just the number that we use in the curriculum manual for all of the certifications. I'm not sure where it came from originally, but I guess it's just like this.
I'm just wondering if they're going to have that many in a class when this thing starts out. I mean, you're going to hold them to that, or is that going to be one of those things that they...
No.
We no longer require a certain number of hours. Recommended hours are strictly recommended hours.
Okay.
So we're not looking for a minimum number of hours.
They can have as many students as they want. This is just to say, we decided that it was going to be this number of recommended hours if your class had about 12 people. But if there's only one person in the class, it might not take that long.
Right.
Is the implication.
I get
or
you.
If there's a lot more, you should probably add a few hours here and there.
Yeah, I think the idea behind recommended hours really is for planning purposes on the part of the training facility so they can determine about how long.
And who's documenting the recommended hours?
I'm sorry?
Who's documenting the recommended hours?
Documenting?
Mm-hmm.
When you say documenting, what do you mean?
In other words, no offense, but I mean, can I just walk in? Two or three of us walk in and we do the class and write it off and say we did this. I mean, how is it documented that we did that somebody did these hours towards this subject?
Again, we're not looking to see whether a training facility actually did this many hours or any particular number of hours. It is all objective-based now, so however long it takes a training provider to get through the information and get it to where their folks have mastered the information, you know, the proof is going to be in the testing.
Okay. So they have a written test that they take?
Well, they'll certainly have our certification exam. Any of our courses, I think, require a final exam.
And then they'll have to send in their skills.
The skills are, no, they don't send them in, but they are done by field examiners either during the course or following the course. That gets checked off by approved field examiners, and then at some point after that, they'll take the written exam, the state test.
I get the feeling this is going to be updated at some time when they do the Fire Educator 2. Will this also be updated at that time?
It will be updated, I guess, the next time that NFPA 1035 is updated, but I don't think that it would be updated just because level one or level two is being created.
Okay. Any other questions? Take a motion.
I'll motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve the forwarding the new fire and life safety educator. With the edits.
459.
Mm-hmm. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, next is... there's several hazardous materials reference lists that need to be updated, and that's because one textbook was updated to the next edition. And it's the hazardous materials for first responders. They've come out with a fifth edition, so we're going to start using that in all the applicable certifications that we have. So that's why you're seeing an awareness reference list, operations, mission-specific, and incident commander. Oh, and basic fire inspector. All of those certification levels use that textbook. So we're gonna update all of the reference lists. And if you look at the incident commander reference list, I made a mistake. I guess the edit didn't make it into this document. So it's about midway down the page. It's hazardous materials for first responders. It should be fifth edition, 2017. I try to catch all these things and rarely do.
Just curious, but I mean, I see us doing that a fair amount. I mean, we can't just say current edition. We need to list every one of these references out.
I
probably already did this one before.
Yeah, probably did before my time.
It has been brought up. And I don't know, I bring it up all the time because it would make it a lot easier too. And there is some reason why.
I think there was a question like of what determines what's the current edition, when it gets published or when it gets distributed or when it's purchased and in need.
Yeah, and that's part of it. That's the problem, is published, distributed. And the NFPA regs are like that too. It gets put out, but it's not officially published till a certain date. I think that's the problem.
Just curious, because
it's make doing it easier, that's for sure.
You'd see a lot less of me.
Oh, come on, Grace.
Well, for sure we need to keep it like it is, then. Save more.
Okay, so 5th, 2017. So, is there anything else on this, Grace?
That's it.
Okay. I'll take a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion and a second. Anybody second?
Second.
Second. Motion and a second. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next. Thanks, Grace.
Thanks, Grace. Item number 4, discussion and possible action regarding 37 PAC Chapter 451, Fire Officer, including but not limited to Subchapter C, Minimum Standards for Fire Officer 3, 451.303, Minimum Standards for Fire Officer 3 Certification, 451.307, International Fire Service Accreditation Congress, IFSAC Seal, and Subchapter D, Minimum Standards for Fire Officer 4, 451.403, Minimum Standards for Fire Officer 4 Certification, 451.407, International Fire Service Accreditation Congress, IFSAC Seal.
So, committee, these rules are currently published for comment right now. The changes that you're going to see in these, if you look at this would be big letter D on the second page there. All of those degrees were added. The reason for that, what they had found when they had originally created these rules, was that one of the consequences was that they found that there were actually people who were qualifying for Officer 4, but because of the way the Officer 3 rules were written, they didn't qualify for Officer 3. So we felt the easiest thing to do was just go ahead and include these degrees here in the Officer 3 language as well, so that they wouldn't run into that situation.
What is a related management administration leadership degree?
Well, who makes that determination? That would be the next question.
So both of those questions.
Well, I mean, there are times that we perhaps will see a degree that isn't specifically called one of these. Mm-hmm. You know, various schools will use different names for different types of degrees. And if it's determined that it is a related type of degree that is very similar to one of these others, it just doesn't have to be called exactly that, then it could be allowed. Just below that number 7, that was just a special provision that's being deleted. It expired. Also on the next page, 451.307A, same way, that subsection expired in August, so that's been deleted as well. And in an Officer 4, you have the same thing. Number 6 here on the last page, and the small letter A below that is just expired language.
Okay. Any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the fire officer changes as discussed.
Motion and a second.
One second.
Any more discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item number 5, discussion and possible action regarding new 37 TAC, Chapter 459, minimum standards for fire and life safety educator certification, including but not limited to 459.1, fire and life safety educator 1 certification, 459.3, minimum standards for fire and life safety educator 1 certification, and 459.5, examination requirement.
Again, these have been published for comment currently. It is a new chapter 459. What we'll do with this, just to give you a heads up, asking about the level 2, when the level 2 information is complete and it's ready to roll and proposed rules have been put together, we'll probably take chapter 459, we'll turn it into a subchapter A and a subchapter B or something like that. It'll be 2 separate certifications altogether. So right now you're just seeing level 1. Life Safety Educator Level 1. I would point out just that you might want to take note of the special temporary provision in little letter D there under 459.1. That'll be the provision that will allow folks to challenge the exam in that first year once this has been approved.
So with that, you're saying if they've taken or completed a course prior to, then they can just challenge the test.
Yeah, and this is fairly common language for any brand new certification we do. We have to have a way to allow people to provide us something that would indicate that they've completed training. Mm-hmm. And in fact, even with some certifications, we'll even take like a letter from a chief, depending on the type of certification. And again, it allows them to challenge our state exam process. They still have to be tested on skills, if there are skills, and then they take the state exam.
Well, on some of those, I was thinking that we were even allowing them for a short period of time, didn't even have to take the test, maybe for like whenever Wildland came out.
Yeah, that's the only one I think we've ever done that with that was the Wildland. Okay. Yeah, and I think there were some specific circumstances during that time that really called for that.
I had some questions from some folks asking if this was going to work the same way, and obviously it won't, but I assumed that was the case because I had read down below where it talked about a test, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah. And again, this is what you're seeing here is pretty common for new ones. We saw the same thing in the driver-operator aerial when that got introduced earlier in the year. We've had, I think last time my testing manager told me, I think we've had close to 100 people who have now challenged that exam based on whatever they've sent us. You know, we've approved whatever information they had sent us.
Wow.
And
it's good.
Yeah.
Do you have to be a firefighter to get this certification?
No. The way this thing's currently written, there aren't any prerequisite certificates required, according to the minimum standards here in 459.3.
How many certifications do we have that you don't have to be a firefighter?
Inspector, investigator, instructor, head of department.
I thought you had to be. Well, that doesn't matter. Okay.
You can hold those without having to hold a structure certification?
No. Firefighter certification.
Structural firefighter certification. Yeah.
But you have to have fire instructor to get this.
Well, during the special temporary provision time, that is one of the things that will allow you to satisfy the training requirement to challenge the state exam during this first year. At the end of that year, or in this case, February 28, 2019, this special provision, temporary provision, goes away. So that D 1, 2, 3, and 4 would go away as of the end of February 2019. So again, it's only for that first year. After that, you're going to take a course. The understanding would be it's going to either be an approved course here in the state, or it's going to be out-of-state military educational institution course that we've looked at and we approve, and then you take the state exam from that.
So somebody that gets this, suppose I go out and get this,
I don't work for a fire department. I'm just a private individual that goes out and gets this. How do we regulate that person?
Well, they'd be regulated in just like any other certificate holder, even if they're an individual certificate holder. Okay. They would have to still meet continuing education requirements and renew their certification annually, and they're subject to audits. We are auditing 50% of our individual certificate holders every year.
But how would they present to the public is what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, philosophically, I have a problem with a non-firefighter doing this. Even a retired firefighter would be different. But just a regular Joe Blow off the street, I mean, talking to people basically on our behalf about fire and life safety, I just, philosophically, I have an issue with that. So I have an issue with that. So we should be able to communicate that to our citizens and our taxpayers. And that's always been a function of our job. So I just don't, there's no legitimacy with a person preaching that hasn't done the job. That's my feeling, so. Anyway.
Well, again,
Are you saying somebody's not affiliated with the department or somebody that's heading the fire?
Just strike? Doesn't have a, yeah.
Because there's a whole, what about a fire inspector?
I know.
Well, there's a whole lot of people that have pub ed departments that have people that.
I know. Like I said, I philosophically have an issue with it. Doesn't mean I'm not going to vote for it. I just philosophically I have an issue. Anyway.
Duly noted.
Thanks. Okay. Any more discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve what was sent to us with no changes. Any more discussion? Speak now or forever hold your peace unless it gets sent back. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're going to take five because I know this is going to be a lengthy discussion. So.
Not yet. The next one. This is six.
Oh, this is six.
Why six not? Is up.
I think this is a typo right
here. Matter, I still got that. All right, we're back in session. Please. Come on. Grace?
Yeah, before we get started again, I just wanted to take a moment to thank the members of the Investigator Ad Hoc Curriculum Committee who came down here today to support me.
Make sure we didn't mess nothing up.
So, George Malone there on the end, he and Tim DeDeer, who's in the middle with the white shirt, they've been on the committee longer than I've been around, so I don't even know how long that is. So.
Are you saying they're old?
I think so.
That's what I heard.
George is
long tenure.
George, are you from Mesquite?
Mesquite
and Farmers Branch from Tim, and he's the chair of the committee. And Reggie Alexander is from Cedar Hill. Yes. Yeah. And he's newer.
Newer. Younger.
Younger. Like 2 years. 2 years.
I know I'm sitting a long way away, but he don't look that young. So. Well, thank you very much. On the record, thank you very much for your service to the commission.
Thank you.
Thanks, Grace.
Thank you.
Next.
All right. Item number six, discussion and possible action regarding 37 TAC, Chapter 429, minimum standards for fire investigator certification, including but not limited to the following sections, 429.1, 429.3, 429.5, 429.7, 429.9, 429.11, 429.201, 429.203, 429.205, 429.207, 429.209 and 429.211.
Okay. Well, can you explain it? Or?
In fact, with your permission, I'll take a few minutes and kind of lay this whole thing out because it is different than what y'all had seen originally earlier in the year.
It's a do-over.
It is. A do-over, do-over.
In many ways,
it's a do-over, do-over.
Do-over, do-over.
And again, just a quick bit of history. Earlier in the year, we had proposed, or the commission, it had been proposed to have a new 429, Chapter 429. You had a subchapter A, subchapter B. Subchapter A was the basic inspector. Subchapter B was our current inspector. You have the same layout here, basic layout. Beyond that, it has changed significantly. And again, this is proposed language right now. It's out there proposed for comment. It came as a result of direction from the commission board to lay it out this way. So now what it is subchapter A is now composed of inspector 1 and 2. Subchapter B is, again, the current one that has all three components in it. As we began to put the language together after the meeting, we realized that this one really complicates a lot of things. And as an example, we have right now over 600 people in our database who hold Inspector 1-2. People who were certified prior to January 1 of 05 hold exactly that. There was no plan examiner component in that. So we've got 600 people in the database that now we have to consider in some way, grandfathering them, if you will. And there's some language here that establishes a requirement for them, and I'll point it out. It doesn't mean this is how it has to be. We just had to get some language in here for consideration. There are a couple of different things you could do with that group of people, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, that's good, because I got an idea about what I want to do with 1-2 and plans examiner 2. So.
Okay. As far as the language itself goes, if I could, let me touch on a couple of things here. On the first page, 429.1, letter E, personnel certified as Inspector 1-2 can only engage in fire code enforcement duties commensurate with job performance requirements listed in the NFPA standard. That same type of language was there when we had the Inspector 1 proposed language. The question now really begins to rise, though, what do we do about plan examiner? Because now the only distinction between these two types of certifications is plan examiner. So now the question comes, is it going to be incumbent upon this agency to now begin enforcing whether somebody does plans reviews or not?
Yes.
Based on what's here. We never have before. And so that becomes a question for consideration and discussion as we're looking at this. It's more of a factor now than it was with that first round where we just had Inspector 1. That was a little more obvious that somebody wasn't going to. So you've got that. Also in letter F, just below that, this is right now where we have this group of 600, if you will, addressed. Individuals who were issued basic inspector certification prior to January 1 of 05 and who currently hold a basic certification or higher are deemed to hold the same level of certification referenced in this subchapter. So here, this is placing this 600 in with the lower level certification people. Now,
question. So the 600, is that part of the 4,500 that are certified inspectors?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, these are all folks who have had theirs. Jason, yeah, I think you said you'd had yours since 90.
Oh,
he and I both since 84.
Yeah, that's true. Both
84.
Of you. Yeah.
2011. Couple members out there.
Okay. So again, we place language here, but you could recommend to the commission that this 600 be grandfathered in with the higher level. and say anybody who was certified prior to January 1 of 05 is deemed to hold a certification equivalent to the higher level one. Whatever y'all think. We just have the language here for the sake of proposing.
And what is the higher level again?
One, two, and plan examiner. It has all three components. Again, as it stands right now, the way our inspector program and certification runs now, we don't look to see whether somebody has PE, as whether they got it as part of their initial start. We don't look. Inspector. Here we're now beginning to make a distinction between whether somebody has plan examiner or not, is really what we're doing with this subchapter A and subchapter B, which is anything, why I say it.
Anything prior to 2005, those people, those 600 have?
Would not have had.
They would not have had that capability. It wasn't built into their system at all.
They didn't test. Plan examiner was not part of the course.
Gotcha.
Back then. It changed in January of 2005.
Well, when I took it, plans examiner wasn't even around. It wasn't even part of the inspector program.
Well, what is your...
Weren't they pulling the fire trucks with horses when you did that?
If I could, let me point out one other thing. And again, this could change depending on what you do with this little letter F right there. Where you put the 600, it could change. When you were looking earlier in the year at that original subchapter A that just had the inspector one, we didn't have levels of certification attached to that. You didn't have intermediate, advanced, master. If you've got this 600 people in the database who already hold, what is yours?
Master.
So we've already got a whole bunch of people who hold inspector 1-2 who have higher levels of certification. So now the question becomes, do we address this now in this subchapter A? If we take all these folks here and say, well, they're just going to be equivalent to the higher level. Anybody prior to 05 that got theirs prior to 05, we're just going to say they're equivalent to the higher level. Then you could get rid of these levels here.
So what you're saying is if we let those 600 go through, they could be actually out reviewing a plan and not have had the capability of doing that during their time.
I can't say for sure, but in all likelihood, we have them doing it now because we don't track that.
Yeah, it's already happening today.
I can't tell you how many are because we don't track it, but I'm sure they are because there was no such thing back then.
So my opinion is that we should never go backwards with those people that attain that stuff already. I don't have one. I'm not a fire inspector. But I don't think you should go backwards. So whatever the highest level of certification that they already have is what they should keep. So that would be my deal with the 600, but only those 600.
Again, y'all decide what you want to recommend to the commissioners. Yeah, and please understand, staff is not advocating for this form of it right here necessarily. We just needed to get some language in there so that y'all, we could have come up with two versions, I guess, but we had to publish something. And so this is what's currently published. Like I say, this whole thing now gets pretty complicated.
Sure.
Because of what was directed.
We could have just did what we did at the last meeting and been settled. Don't say nothing. Okay, so I'm of that opinion, too, that I guess that would be number F, little number F.
Mm-hmm.
We'll address the 600 and allow them to keep whatever the highest level of certification they have right now, which is plans examiner, right? 1-2 in plans examiner.
What you could recommend to the commissioners if you wanted to is that you would move this and say individuals who were issued certification prior to January 1 of 05 are deemed to hold the same level certification referenced in subchapter B instead of subchapter A. You could say that if you felt like wanted that to be your recommendation.
Say that one more time. Sorry.
Okay, right now, the way this reads, anybody who holds the old certification, I call it the old, the one that was issued prior to 05, The current language right here says you're going to be deemed to hold something equivalent to this basic one. What he is suggesting is that we take that statement right there and we move it over to here to say these guys are grandfathered and they're going to be deemed to hold the higher level, even though they didn't have that component in their training at the time or in the state exam. They're going to be deemed to hold the higher level. That's what he's suggesting.
All right. All right, so we're going to have the 600. The 600 are going to keep what they got and not go backwards.
That's up to y'all. Whatever y'all want to recommend to the commissioners.
I agree with that.
So would they go backwards anyway?
Yeah, we could.
They could. They could.
If we leave it as it's written.
If you leave it as it's written, we'd go backwards.
Right. So we'll need to move it over to subchapter B.
Yeah.
So make the recommendation that Tim is, or the word changing that Tim is suggesting.
Okay.
And that helps.
That'll come in the final vote.
Again, do this in the form of a motion after y'all decide what you want this to look like. Do all this in the form of a motion, and that's what you're going to take to your commissioners in January.
That's what I'm going to take to the commissioners. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for that. And subchapter A, subchapter B, my opinion, once again, I am not a fire inspector. I do not have that certification. But the original language is basic, right? It was a basic fire inspector certification.
Right.
Okay,
basic, intermediate, advanced certification, but that's through time.
Yeah, that's only through time.
Through time. And everybody
just talking about the levels?
Just the levels.
Yeah, it's just like any of the other structure or any of those. I have the basic, intermediate, advanced, master, based on time and training.
Time and training, but the basic.
So it's a master based on time and training. Okay. I'd like to differentiate the subchapter A and subchapter B somehow to acknowledge the fact that the people that have plans examiner are apparently above and beyond abilities that are available now, because apparently nobody can pass that plans examiner test. I think that they've probably risen to a really high level and they should be acknowledged for that. How can we do that?
Since 05, plans examiner has been in there, though?
Yes.
So everybody that holds an inspector certification that from 05 as plans examiner.
Yes.
So it was the majority of
that took.
Right. So is that an AB?
So my point is that an AB, or are they master inspectors? But they can't be that because that's based on time, right?
Well, keep in mind, too, that
basically
we solved that issue in January of this year, to where from that point on, now everybody truly has to master all three sections. They have to pass all three sections in order to qualify for certification. So that did occur. Now, obviously, there are folks prior to that, from 05 up till January 1st of this year, who may or may not have passed all three sections, who still hold the same certification. But we did, if you will, fix that in January by that new requirement.
Yeah, they couldn't get the FSAC seal if they didn't pass each one, right?
They couldn't qualify for state certification. Yeah. Previously, right. Yes, that's right. Correct. If they were looking at FSAC seals, they'd have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically, right now, there's two tracks you can go down. You can go down a plans review or an inspector plus plans review track, or just inspector track. It's kind of like the fire investigator, arson investigator.
That's what you're seeing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you hold TCOL, you can go down the arson side. If you're not, then you can go down the fire investigator side.
Okay. So now I understand. Because I see basic fire inspector 1 and 2 certification, and then 1, 2 and plans examiner certification.
It's two separate certifications, one including all three components, one only including two of the components.
Okay. And in 1031, can they review plans in 1031?
Well, plans review is part of 1031.
Okay. So that's my other problem is if we're separating it out 1-2 and then 1-2 and plans examiner, only 1-2 and plans examiner should be able to review plans.
Reviews?
Yes.
I'd have to go reference 1031. I'd hate to make that assumption, but I would assume that when, because 1031 has plan examiner one and two broken out completely separate in the NFPA standard, that's probably the case.
Okay, so then we should delineate that, I believe. Because if you don't have to do plans, if you don't have to take the plans examiner curriculum and the test to be the one and two now, then you shouldn't be reviewing plans.
If that's the will of the committee as far as the recommendation goes, that you have that in E. That's where you would cover that in little letter E.
Listed for fire pit. In the current edition of 1031. So naturally then, I want to know if that's in 1031, because that kind of throws a wrench into everything that's going on. I mean, philosophically, this committee already voted not to change anything, so.
You want to grab a copy and we can have a look?
I mean, we've already voted to leave it the way it was. We're doing in do-over period. Yeah, the first and second time. So we're in do-over period. So if the delineation is plans examiner, then let's make sure.
What are you asking?
Well, so it says in here that if you're a one and a two, then you can only do what's in 1031, according to what's in 1031. So if we split this out and we do one and two as a certification,
right?
And here it says you can do one and two, but you can do job requirements or whatever according to what's in 1031. Is plans examiner in 1031? Because we're separating plans examiner out.
Well, 1031 has, it's broken into inspector one, two, and three, NFPA one, two, and three, and plans examiner one and two. Those are all inside 1031.
Okay. And so this is an all-encompassing thing that says you just got to follow what's in 1031.
Correct.
And if we're breaking plans examiner out of the certification, then somebody could come in here and say, well, it's in 1031, so I can review plans. If we don't test you for plans examiner, then you shouldn't be reviewing plans.
Unless you were grandfathered.
Unless you're grandfathered.
Again, you're wanting to make sure that 1031 doesn't say that, say, an inspector two could do plans reviews. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we can move on and come back to that, I guess.
Yeah, she went to get one. I mean, we may have to take a few minutes on that to make sure. Let me do this as well, I guess. If you could flip over to subchapter B, I'll just point a couple of items out.
That's what I've been talking about. That's what Jim is talking about is exactly what I'm saying. And I agree with that totally.
Speak into the mic. You want to look at anyone?
Thanks, Grace.
Did you look for me?
Yeah.
Basically, go into Inspector 2 and see if there's anything in the knowledge and skill components there in the JPRs that would indicate that an Inspector 2 could do plans reviews.
Yeah.
You ever got Fire Inspector 2?
Yep. Plans review right there.
I'm going to keep going, or you want me to pause?
Keep going.
If y'all want to go to subchapter B, let me just point out a couple of things there. That there was language actually that was in the original one, but I just want to make sure you're aware of it while we're in this stuff. 429.201, the little letter E. So that was some language that was recommended for people who supervise code enforcement duties. They'll need to hold the higher level or a fire inspector certification issued prior to March 1. So in other words, there's a grandfathering opportunity there as well. Anybody getting certified after that date would have to hold the higher one if they're going to supervise people. And then small letter F goes into satisfying the requirements for a head of a prevention-only department. If they'll need to hold that higher level one to do that. People who are already head of prevention-only are grandfathered. And then small letter G also. That is where...
It's the same thing. Did Phil verify?
We would move the other one from the first part over to here, if that's what y'all are... Well, that, if that's your recommendation, that's where it would go, is right there. It would replace that.
And on that first page, B, at the bottom, I know that's our normal boilerplate, but is that 2009 date going to be a problem?
Well, now what we're saying is they just can't go back before that to use one of those. It has to be after that date, okay. Anything after that date. That's the earliest one that you could use that would qualify.
For this one only?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So we just really change the after to prior, I guess, huh? That was just on G?
We could. Yeah. If that is your recommendation, you could actually do that. Yeah.
Okay.
So that seems to be the only fair thing, because, I mean, there could be fire marshals out there that are doing this today.
You know,
sure.
Yeah.
They're sitting in the audience.
Yeah.
They're sitting in the audience.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Them guys.
So, yep. So, I mean, that's what you got to do.
Got a lot of wheels turning up here.
Based on this, it looks like in, you're looking at, it looks like in Inspector 2, or 2, there is some plan review knowledge based in it. It's based on being able to take the set of plans and verify what's in the field and on the plans are the same. So you're going to have some basic knowledge, maybe if not initial plan review,
but re-plan.
Be able to re-plan. That's a part of the skills of it too. So
yeah, that's what I'm seeing as well. It looks like you should be able to read them. I don't know about approving plans, but it looks like you should be able to read them.
It's kind of interwoven by that statement there, which means
you mean like all three of them should be together?
Yeah. Which means that this is almost hard to pull apart.
Five, two, two.
I mean, based on what you're saying and what this reads here, and I know we've voted on this the past two times, I
speak your mind.
Very difficult to pull this apart and not keep it the way it exists today.
Without creating more problems.
Without creating more issues.
Well, that's fine. We'll write it, but we need to write an exclusion out for plans review. I was at the meeting when the commissioner sent it back. They wanted it to be 1-2 and no plans. So
I don't know how we do that, but based on the curriculum part.
You just write an exclusion, that's all. You just write an exclusion.
I think we're making it worse.
Yeah.
Well, I agree, but...
I think you're making it worse for staff and worse for the people in the field.
Thank you.
I'm getting nowhere.
And moving nowhere.
Well, I think we should leave all three together, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
If you leave all three together, then you're just rejecting this whole thing.
That's correct.
Reggie Alexander, just to get a better understanding of what has already been approved, so are we talking now about splitting this up? Because I'm in favor of keeping it all together. 2006, I took the plan examiner class, took the test. It's a very challenging test, of course, but by the grace of God, I passed it. But I'm in favor of keeping it as it is, because, you know, when you get an inspector, somebody gets certified as an inspector, you know, you have everything that you need to do plan review. You can inspect mom and pops. You can do multi-use occupancies, plan examining. You know, you have to have knowledge. The inspection begins with the plans before you even make it to the building. So I'm a strong advocate of keeping it the same. I just wanted to get some clarification on what I'm hearing.
How come you didn't come to the last meeting, Rich?
Didn't know. Didn't have
a is it the wrong commission meeting?
Yes.
That's Jim's way of saying thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here.
Yes.
I mean, we've already rejected this twice as a group, completely and unanimously rejected it. So, look, this is a committee, so I'll entertain whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want us to do, I'll entertain it. I am totally against this, personally, philosophically. Okay? I'm against splitting this apart. We are all against splitting this apart. But I don't want to just throw it back there and then have them do whatever they want with it either. So I don't know what to do. So I'm looking, I know you guys think I'm really smart, but I'm looking for some advice here. So, but I believe that the will of the commissioners from that last meeting is to do one and two and split plans examiner off and make that a higher level of certification. So if they do that and you don't have to test for plans examiner, then my belief is that you get that one and two, you should not have anything to do with plans. So besides that, I don't know what else to do. And the only way for us to ensure that is to write it an exclusion in the rules. So, and you can still get 1-2 in plans examiner, and the people that already have it, you know, they'll be good to go. You'll just be a superstar then, not just a regular fire, but you'll be a superstar inspector then. So.
I think it just limits departments. It limits me as a fire marshal and supervisor, manager of my division, that I'll have an inspector who can't do everything that I need him to do.
Once again, I agree. So, I mean, anybody else in the audience wants to get up and speak, you are more than welcome to. I mean, this is a very open committee. So
we did have some agencies who did voice that it would make it easier for them to administer the inspections.
Yeah.
They did have it.
Yeah. So.
Tim Dedeer with the City of Farmers Branch. Ditto everything Reggie said, and based on y'all's opinion, too. I'm totally against it. When you, as an inspector, like Reggie said, you start off with a set of plans before you even go to a building. Most of us now have to deal with new construction. We're booming in the state of Texas right now. So first thing we do is we open up a set of sprinkler plans on a job site that we're overseeing, making sure that the sprinkler system is following the plans. If you can't read plans or not certified to read plans, how are you going to do your job? Same with fire alarm systems. Fire inspection is not just going into a mall or pawl shop and looking for a fire extinguisher. You never know what you're going to encounter when you walk into this building. And like I said, there's renovations all the time. We open plans up on the job site. We're looking at this stuff. It's vital that this inspector be cognizant of what plan review is all about. That's where it starts, and that's where it finishes, too, when you get that CO.
So let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Do you see any... So what was brought forward was mom and pops, they can't get their mom and pops inspected. So that's one of the reasons they want to lower the certification. One, because apparently you guys that got plans examiner and passed that test are super smart, because apparently nobody else can pass those tests. But that's the big issue is mom and pops. They can't get their mom and pops done. So... Can you do justice to a mom-and-pop inspection without reviewing plans?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Does your department allow company officers on apparatus to go out and conduct inspections?
No, sir, not in Farmers Branch. We have a full staff, very lucky to have so. But talking to some of my neighbors that have firefighters that have gone out and done inspections, the problem that the fire marshal encounters is they're constantly going back and following up because they don't gain the compliance like when I walk through the door. So if I got to go out there, I might as well go out and do the inspection myself if I'm going to have to do the compliance.
It's interesting.
It is.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't the genesis to get from some of these departments that were asking to split this up simply so they could get their company officer to conduct some of their inspections? Mm-hmm. Is that where this...
Yes. No, there's a separate thing there. You got pre-fire planning, which the company officer goes out there and looks at the facility to make sure they know how it's laid out, where the fire protection systems are.
Sure.
In case they have that fire at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's totally different than an inspection. Wow. And you want someone that's walking in there knowing what to look up and down at. It's not just going in there again and saying hello to the clerk, you have an extinguisher, and walking out. There's so much electrical that these places have that you got to look at. I don't know if that individual has enough knowledge to make a decision on if something is a hazard or not. And if they do feel uncomfortable in something, then they're going to end up calling me anyway. And then I got to waste my time and go out there. I might as well have done it in the first place and done it right. So that's my opinion.
Do you have any need for just Inspector 1 in your department at all?
No, sir. The City of Farmers Branch is, we have 50 Fortune 500 companies, 24-story high-rise buildings, multi-occupancy use buildings, hospitals, schools, warehousing, high-piled storage, you name it, we have it. And for me to have to try to figure out which buildings I can send company officers to, it's only going to be a handful. And might as well have my staff do it that's certified and can make a wise decision on what needs to be corrected.
How often do you inspect your buildings?
In our city, we are hitting about 65-70% annually.
Wow, that's pretty good.
My goal is to bring that down. I just hired another part-time inspector. So we should be raising that to about 75-80%.
It's interesting. That's in the Metroplex, right?
Yes,
you're in the
sir.
Metroplex, right? Got to get that stuff on tape. So, okay. Anybody else? Come on.
Just
no, you got to come up here. Sorry, pal. We got to get all this on tape.
Just to add what Tim just stated, Cedar Hill, the city of fire department, has taken the initiative that when a firefighter promotes to driver, it's mandatory that you become an inspector. So we're addressing that company inspection issue the right way.
So when you say inspector, though, you're talking about everything,
Never
1, 2, and plans exam.
The whole thing, yeah.
And do you send them?
Yes, we do. We send them. We send them to school for inspector, and they get all three. So that way, when I have a company that's doing inspections for me, I'm not worried that they're not doing the right thing, you know, because they've got everything that I have, that one driver.
And your department does have companies conducting your inspections.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the way we would address it.
And we know Fort Worth does, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
Galveston
does. Wisco's not here. He had a family issue. But
yes.
They do theirs. I think they're required to do 5 a month.
Yes, that's
and
right.
All theirs are, you know, their officers are getting inspectors. So it's not that much of a burden. So
yeah. I'm using the same frequency.
Are you?
Yeah.
So I, but they have 1, 2 in plans examiner,
absolutely.
The whole thing. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, like I said, you're.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks for the input. Appreciate it. You got to fill out a blue form, though.
Yeah. And just for the record, I'm in the City of Gonzales. We're 7,500 combination department, and all of my lieutenants have to have fire inspector as well. And the 1, 2, and plans examiner.
Under the current system. That
absolutely. And they've already got it. I mean, we're there.
And so those are volunteer lieutenants.
No, sir. They're career. Uh-huh. But they all have.
Yes, sir, Mr. DeShields.
DeShields with the State Association of Firefighters. I think our only concern is the plans are that you can't have guys that aren't, I guess, qualified to look at plans, looking at plans. So, I mean, that's, and I don't know what 1031 says or not. So, I mean, that's something they'll figure out. But that's our major concern. And the grandfathering thing is fine, whatever y'all want to do with that. That's, I mean, I think if they have that certification now, they should lose it. But that's all I got.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir. Well,
So, here's what I would like to do. You may be surprised when you hear this. Let's do the grandfathering language, the exclusion. I want to do the exclusionary language. Okay?
As in?
So, 1-2, and you can't review plans.
So then we're going to. Y'all's recommendation going to be that you're going to alter that little letter
D?
I'm going to give you some language, and then we're going to vote on it. I'll tell them what the vote's going to come up like.
Be a little letter E?
Yeah.
In subchapter A, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
That you'd include language there that would exclude. Again, make this your recommendation to the commissioners.
Mm-hmm. It's what we're going to vote on. So I'm not sure how the vote's going to come
your
out.
Your motion then is begins with that.
Somebody else will make a motion.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments?
I still got to understand where you're going, which way you're going.
So,
have to make a motion, right?
Yeah, there's going to have to be a motion, and we're gonna vote. So,
there's gonna be some questions on the motion, okay?
But in little letter E, are we gonna do it little letter E or F?
Well, E is where it addresses the fact that it has to be within the JPRs of 1031, so I would think you would put it right there. If you're wanting to put specific language regarding plan examiner.
No, specific language that says that
they cannot do.
You can't do any.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You might want to include that right there.
Yeah.
I would think. I mean, again, y'all's choice on that. But
yeah, that would be good. And then we would move the F1 to subchapter B, I guess. Right?
Yeah, you could strike it from A and then in B change it to prior if you want to where it be prior to 05. Because it's the language is in B, but with the wrong it says after. Would be one way.
Yeah. So what'd you say, Ken? Strike F and then just move it over to.
Yes, sir, because C and G, it says the exact same thing, except it's got after in there. And if that said prior.
Okay. Why you
got
to move it?
Right. Just change it.
Well, just change after to prior?
Yeah.
Right. And strike it from A.
Okay.
Looks like to me would work.
Did you get that? Nice, Ken. Way to go. Make it easier for us.
And then I'm struggling with the way your E is written.
E in which one?
I'm sorry, in subchapter A. So it says that they can only engage in duties that are commensurate with the job performance requirements listed for Inspector 1 and 2 in the current edition of 1031, which I'm good with that, which says that they cannot then do plan review. It's saying that only to the extent that it's commensurate with NFPA 1031. But then that next sentence, I guess, is throwing me standard for professional qualifications for fire inspector and plans examiner or its successor. I guess I'm struggling with why that's there.
That is the title for that NFPA standard.
Okay.
That is the title.
Okay.
Let me double check.
It is.
Standard for professional qualifications for fire inspector.
You may be wondering why plans examiner is not in the first sentence.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
What?
Plan examiner is not in that first sentence, even though the actual standard is titled plan examiner at the end of the statement on the cover of it.
I mean, are we trying to split out an FPA
sentence
standard here? I mean, are we trying to split something out of that?
That's what they want to do. That's what they wanted to do.
That's what we're trying. That's what the commission wants.
That's what the commission.
Yeah. I thought we were trying to stay in line with NFPA. Is there something that's changed since last time we met? Just asking a question.
There was some
Discussion.
At the last meeting about how something was approved and then got changed without anybody knowing about it. And then that generated a rather lengthy discussion about fire inspectors and what they needed and what the cities needed. And there was just a lot of people here all of a sudden that wanted that fire inspector certification lowered down to just fire inspector one.
Remember that.
There was a pretty sizable discussion from both groups, and they decided they wanted to send it back this way. And that is my politically correct version of that.
Let's say we keep NFPA as NFPA is, and then let them deal with the 600.
So what's your change of your motion so we can at least move forward with this?
Yeah, we got to have the motion first.
So somebody make a motion. Because I'm the chairman, I'm not supposed to make motions, right?
Right.
You can make a motion if you want.
If I want to?
Yeah, oftentimes it's more efficient to have somebody else do it for you.
Okay.
You want to do it, you can.
Okay, here we go. So I'm going to make a motion that in subchapter A of what we received, we're going to have in little letter E some language that says in the last line, or let's see, can you only go... Department listed in Fire Inspector 1 or 2 in the current edition of NFPA, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of that, some kind of proper exclusionary language that says you will not be able to do any plans review. Plans review or approval. And then in little letter F, we're going to strike that section because it's going to be changed in the next one. You give me that look.
No, I'm just listening.
That look.
So I'll be looking down my glasses.
So in subchapter B, in letter E, or not letter E, I'm sorry, letter G, little letter G, we're going to strike after and put prior. And that will take care of the 600. Sounds like a movie.
Say that one more time.
So in little letter G, Ken,
okay,
we're going to strike the word after January 1st. We're going to strike after.
Okay.
And we're going to put prior.
Okay.
Prior to. Okay. And that will take care of the grandfathering of the 600.
Gotcha.
Now. That is what I think the commissioners wanted. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. That's what, I don't even know what to say. So anyway, that takes care of both of those issues. Now, we're going to vote, and if we don't vote this down, it's just the way it is, but at least the verbiage will go forward as a rejected verbiage. Right? Right.
If you have a second.
If I have a second.
Second.
So.
A second.
Okay.
Discussion?
Any more discussion? Discuss away.
Yeah, I have a comment because I've been in this process, and this goes back actually 2 years, I believe, is where we started this. And I know originally we had a lot of departments that were wanting us to separate this out specifically so they could get some of their company officers to assist with the inspections in their organizations. And I was at the last commission meeting, and I was there to listen to them. Also, the will was known that they wanted to split it off, but they throw it back to this committee for the simple reason is we're the committee that vets this out, that it's easy to say, let's just split it out. But it impacts a lot of organizations, it impacts staff, it impacts the NFPA standards and how we interpret them and apply them, and obviously then enforce them. So I'm opposed to making this change to the proposal that's sitting on the table right now, based on the fact that I believe we're going to be creating more problems in the long run. I know the Texas State Association of Firefighters has voiced vocally that they're concerned about basically dumbing down what we do out there just to make it easier so we can check a box and say an inspection was done. And I think that correlates to firefighter safety and even life safety amongst the public. And I'm concerned that we're doing that. I understand, as a master inspector for almost 30 years, I never took the plans examiner class. And I even served as the fire marshal for the city of Dallas for a year. And it wasn't needed. Now, we have a unique department. But if I was forced to go back through that class tomorrow, we would just have to make it happen. We do that on everything that we do. We do that with paramedic school. We don't revise the paramedic program and delete saltwater emergencies because we don't respond to those in Dallas to make the program easier. And I'm afraid that that's where we're going with this proposal. I commend the commission for us looking at it, for them exploring all the options, because it was brought. We had a lot of people here that voiced an opinion that they wanted this separated out. I'm surprised none of them are here today, but that I don't think that would weigh my opinion or decision or vote if they were here, because we're hearing both sides of the fence. This isn't a win-win. We're not going to make everybody happy with this, but right now, as it sits, I think it creates less problems for us than making this change. I think making this change opens up Pandora's box, and we're going to be back here again and again and again, and we're just wasting time.
So we just send it back to them?
One way or the other, up or down, the verbiage will go back to them.
Well, you're saying you don't agree.
So let me make my public statement. As the maker of the motion, I'm going to vote against it. Because I disagree with this. I completely and totally disagree. And all you have to do is listen to the tape at every single meeting that this has come up at to know that I disagree with doing this. 1-2 in plans examiner is the proper, safe, efficient, and best value for the taxpayers. And we should not reduce this. The union doesn't think they should reduce it. The chiefs don't think that we should reduce this. The stakeholders do not think we should reduce this. So I'm going to vote against, even though I made the motion, I'm going to vote against it. So this is just wrong. And it's not like we don't have the ability for people to get these certifications. Fort Worth has every single company officer. Galveston has theirs. Gonzales has his. Dallas is going to start doing theirs, I believe. Farmers Branch. I mean, it's not like it's not possible. It's you have to have the will to do it. That's all. And dumbing it down, as far, no matter how far you dumb it down, is not what the citizens pay for and not what they expect from us. I like the comment about going into a business. When I go into a business to do a pre-plan, I am not a threat to anybody. I'm not there to enforce anything. I'm there to just walk through and see what things look like. Okay, but if I go in there as a code enforcement person with maybe some enforcement authority, it becomes almost adversarial, you know. And I just don't think it's efficient, and I don't think it's good public relations for us either. So, I'm a company officer. I got almost 30 years on the job, so I've walked in and out of buildings my entire career. And made nice with the citizens, pointed out issues that they have, but not the electrical system, because I don't know that. And not the plans review, because I don't know that. You know, and not the sprinkler system, because that's not my deal. I'm not an expert at that. And in the city of San Antonio, even when an inspector gets his certification, passes his test, he still has to ride out for 6 months with a certified inspector in order to gain the experience needed to do that job safely and properly. That should be the standard. That shouldn't be the exception. And these three things were generated because of a fatality fire. This basic combination of this certification was generated by the by the legislature because of a fatality fire. Why would we go backwards from this? Because people don't want to stand up and say, I need more money in my budget for inspectors? Come on, really? I mean, that's like us saying, well, we don't need any more fire personnel. No. We need more people to do the job, regardless of what division it's in. You know, if we need more ambulances, we sure get more paramedics on the street. We need more fire trucks, we get more firefighters on the street. We need more wildland, we get more wildland on the street. We need more inspectors, get more inspectors on the street, but get them certified. So that's just my comment. So go ahead, Ben.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
City of McAllen, we have two, I think, newly promoted lieutenants that are not, which they're in the process of becoming inspectors, the whole nine yards. I've heard larger cities, even a combination department has been able to accomplish this. At one of our meetings, we had a chief here stating that my fire marshal retired. I don't have no inspectors. Well, that's something that I said, fire chief, you need to look at and forecast and start training your personnel. I don't believe we need to go backwards. If smaller cities than mine, larger cities can accomplish it, everybody should be able to accomplish this.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess the problem I'm going to have with it is when we start looking at 1033, and we go through the, I'm sorry, 1031, and we know that plans examiner is part of Inspector 2 qualifications and part of the skills. So we're going to put language in here that says that they cannot do plans review, but yet they've got to do some plans review to get their Inspector 2 certification. So, again, we're trying to rewrite 31 to some degree. And, again, I'm struggling with that because, I mean, if I would make the argument, if you're going to test me, skills test me, on plans review, but yet I can't do it, again, what's the point? Why? So, to me, that makes no sense. I mean, I don't know why we would be testing someone on plans review, but yet then they don't have that certification and they can't do that job. So, to me, again, it's too muddy. I mean, if you're going to start trying to change up NFPA, why not go ahead and get Subchapter B, be all or done or none, you know? And to me, that makes the most sense.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. We've got a motion on the floor and a second. Any more discussion? All those in favor of the motion to forward this language to the commissioners, say aye. Any opposed? Say no.
No.
No. Okay. Motion's defeated. Should be interesting. That was a round of applause for you people on the table.
That was a long way around.
Please come to the next meeting.
Wait. Yeah. Next commission meeting.
January.
January
25th. Be here.
Here in town?
No. North Texas. Houston, Richardson.
Send somebody.
Okay. All right.
You missed the last day.
Number seven.
Item 7, discussion and possible action on petition for amendment of an existing rule as requested by the Texas State Association of Firefighters.
Committee members, what you have there, you've got a petition for a rule change. I was asked to remind the committee that the commissioners haven't even seen this thing yet. It'll be on their agenda in January. They'll look at the proposal for rule change. If at that point they choose to publish rule language based on this petition in January, then y'all will actually see this again in March, in your meeting in March during that interim, so that you can do your official review and comment on it before they look at it again in April. So this is real preliminary, and I would at this point just recommend that, you know, you make this a discussion item for today, because you'll see it again, assuming the commissioners publish something in January.
I'm sure one way or the other we're going to see it again. Maybe they'll set up an ad hoc or something. You never know. So there's a lot of information, and I was asked about this, and so I think that this is a fantastic idea. We address all these other issues in the fire service, but we need to address the cancer. And the flag's up, and everybody's very cognizant of what's going on. Most departments I talk to are either have two sets of gear or are going to two sets of gear. I work in one of the largest departments in the state, and we do not have two sets of gear. But we are just finished a field trial, and the bid just went out for our second set of gear. Houston does not have a second set of gear, but they're kind of working on that. But it seems to me like the smaller departments actually have more will and ability to get second sets of gear for their members. So 2023 is a ways off, and I think this would be a good thing. There will be some more enhanced and mandatory for us in this state cleaning and contamination, decontamination procedures coming in the next 1851. Because as one of the guys that sits on that, I can tell you for a fact that there has been a lot of research, a lot of study done on cleaning and decontamination and what needs to be done to properly do it. And all you have to do is watch one of your friends wither away from cancer, and you'll know that it's the right thing to do. Now we have so many guys dying early that, you know, our younger guys are getting the message too. And I heard a very good comment from Chief Bryant, used to be in Oklahoma City, and he told a group of people, a room full of people, he says, if you permit any of this stuff, then you promote it. If you permit your guys to wear dirty gear back to the station without deconning it, then all you're doing is promoting the culture that we have now that needs to be changed. So as a commission and as a regulatory agency, this is the right thing for us to do. And I'm sure there's going to be some screaming about it. But 2023 is a long ways off, and I think preparation and planning, you should be able to do it. I mean, 2023, probably see a lot of different people sitting up here. But it is absolutely the right thing to do. So two extractors or extractors in the stations or some kind of system where you can get your stuff cleaned, I would tell you, in my department, no stations have extractors. We have no diesel capture systems in my department. And I'm in one of the biggest departments in the state. So
don't you think that's a starting place, though?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of common sense got to go into it, and you're throwing a lot of good areas out. The second set of gear doesn't help with the two things that you just mentioned. You know, because one thing I think this says is you need that piece, that second piece of ensemble at your station so that you can get to it. So if all those things you're talking about are there, then you're going to be contaminating that second set almost like you're doing the first set.
That's right. So this will be a big cultural change for us. And like I said, it'll be interesting. The discussions will be very interesting.
And we've had this, Glenda Shields with the Texas State Association of Firefighters, we've had that same, it's a chicken and egg thing.
Right.
You know, I don't want to throw, I know this is going to cost a ton of money for cities. Two sets of gear, I mean, it'd be about $2,000 a guy. I think it probably just depended on, and it just depends on what you're talking about.
Right.
You're talking about hood, coat, and pants. You could probably get in the $2,000 range. Extractors, you know, you're looking about $5,000 to $8,000 a station plus install and everything like that. So you're going to look at, and that's
bit.
For a smaller unit.
Yeah.
So you're looking, but that's going to be that probably a lot cheaper. But still, you end up with, you can't send a guy into a building with wet gear. So it's one of those things we're trying to work out. Do we want the extractors in the stations, or do we want gear? And we figure we just start with gear and then work with extractors later. And as Jim kind of pointed out, some of the smaller departments are making the move towards, especially in newer fire stations and stuff like that, they're putting extractors in those. Mm-hmm. In those. And how do you... I'm having trouble getting my arms around the extractor thing because you'd have to go back and retrofit and everything like that. Do you just say going forward any new station has an extractor in it? So it's a little bit easier to run with two sets of gear. But one of the most important things, some of these big departments like Houston claim to have two sets of gear. Well, they have one set of gear that the firefighter uses and then another set of gear that sits off in some storage unit. And I've tried to figure out, no one could give me a good answer, when that would ever, that second set of gear would ever be, you know, sent over to the guy, or if it's just a replacement. And I think that's all it is. It's just a replacement. If something gets torn or damaged beyond repair, that they just bring that over.
And I think, too, you got to look at the fact that, I mean, if having been online, I can't foresee my guys walking out there when we were fighting fire and coming back in from a fire, tired as hell, 3 o'clock in the morning, and them going in there and changing their gear out. The culture is not going to do that. We've talked about the culture before,
but it needs to.
I'm not saying it doesn't need to.
The culture will do that if you, as the chief, mandate it. The culture will bend if you.
How many times have you got somebody that's got the air system on their, what is it, the plumb event system? Uh-huh. How many guys do you know? How many stations do you go into that it's hooked up every time you go in there?
I wouldn't know. We don't have any. So
I know I had it, and I understand what you're saying. You're going to tell me that you're written up if you don't have it hooked up, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I worked at a department that half and half the time it was hooked up, half the time it wasn't. And we had the same guideline as what you said. Now, maybe they didn't follow through and they didn't write us up, but those guys, it's just like that guy getting out of that third seat or fourth seat, and before you enter that complex, he has to put that on that as it comes in. That doesn't always happen. Let's be truthful here. It doesn't always happen. Reality, I'm not saying this is not a good thing. I'm talking about it's more broad than what you're putting it out. Buying a second set of bunker gear is not going to eliminate what we have going on in the fire station. It's going to have to go further than that.
Well, yeah. No, I agree.
You've got to have a starting point somewhere.
Yeah, this is our starting point. I mean, that's why we put in our petition, we put 2023, because we figure this is going to take a long time. We've been trying to do a bunch of education. This is throughout the country, International Association and State Association tell people to clean the gear or do it. But, you know, Houston has 4,000 firefighters, and they have one set of gear that gets sent out once a year to get cleaned. And it's awful. I ask them, I go, well, what do you do? Well, they just knock off the big stuff and hope they're all right. And there is a cost saving on this. One set of, or one case, workers' comp case of cancer that ends up getting picked up can be $500,000 to $1 million. I think Houston would probably cost $7-8 million to outfit everybody with, probably less than that because they do have a backup. They do have backups, but $7-8 million would I kind of estimate for them to fully put this in. You know, I mean, we've got to start somewhere. We've got so many guys coming down with really bad cancers now, and they're not lung cancer. It's all kidney, it's thyroid, those kind of things, and it's all coming from absorption.
But it's just like when any picture that you see in the last 20 years when I started wearing a hood, every picture that I'm in that they would bring out, whether it's in the paper or wherever, I've got my hood pulled down around my throat after I come out of a fire. Didn't have any clue. I had no clue. It was keeping me warm, as far as I thought.
But you're looking back 20 years ago. So what if we were looking 20 years into the future?
I'm looking at my son that's in the business for 12 years. I'm looking at my son-in-law that just started with Carrollton. I got all that. I mean, I want them to be safe. I think it's a culture thing, though, that we've got to not just throw money at it. And I think that's what we're doing. I think we're throwing money at it.
But how do you change the culture? Tell me how to change the culture.
Education.
Education, especially with the younger guys now. My younger guys are more compliant than any of my older guys.
The best thing that ever happened to my youngest son was the day the Dallas fire chief walked out and did a class and talked about the cancers and talked about bunker gear. That was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Well, and I agree.
Because he was down there in a culture, and
but that's
Daniel knows that's their culture. They never wash their gear. It looks like it's burned up, and it's not taken care of. When he came out and he did that, that got his attention. And I think more of us have got to get out, and we've got to talk about that and get those guys. And you do. You get out and you talk about that stuff. And they're doing the NFPA committee where we're going to have – they're talking about doing two cleanings a year.
Oh, they're definitely going to do two cleanings a year. I mean, got the votes.
Which is in no way sufficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
no
not, two, not two cleanings. Two testings. I'm sorry.
Oh, two testings.
Yeah.
No, two cleanings, too.
Well, that's not sufficient. I mean, that's –
Well, I know, but that's better than than the one we got now.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
All of this is education's defense, and this is offense. This is picking up the football, saying we're going to move it down the field and start making changes. Because we're not just talking about cancers that are career-ending. We're talking about cancers that are life-ending. And we don't do any justice up here by not putting our foot down, saying we need to stand behind something to change the culture. Because it starts with us here. And if we're going to say we're going to allow it to pass on to the next group of people, and eventually it's going to catch up with us, well, by that time, more firefighters are dying every single day, and they're coming off the job because of cancers that are connected to this job. And it's our turn here to say we're going to put our foot down, and we're going to start making sure we're putting in play and we're protecting our guys on the street every day.
And let me tell you something else that I found out, that the carcinogens and the comes off the fires sometimes will alter the DNA in different people. And you pass that through your genes to your offspring. And I'll give you a case in point. I have four daughters, and three of my daughters that were conceived after I got into the fire department all have a heart defect that is not genetic, nothing in my family. There's no cause, and it's not supposed to. It's like a one in a million that runs in a family, and I have three of my four, and all three were conceived after I got into the fire service during this period where we were just starting to wear BAs. We never cleaned the gear, never, didn't have any hoods, and I'm sure that that got passed on in some fashion. I hear that all over the state, different guys at clusters and different stations, their kids that have these bizarre diseases, medical issues. And you got to know that you pass that stuff on when you absorb it in. You pass that on to whoever your offspring is going to be, too. And it alters your genetic structure. We wouldn't have these 25-year-old guys and these 30-year-old guys with these crazy cancers.
Well, kidney cancer is the new one that's shown up. And a lot of that comes from diesel exhaust. And it can come from, of course, a fire. I mean, it's soot, basically, is a huge cause.
And kidney is it is the big one, yeah.
And the cities are fighting. And basically, they're going to win because they got a lot of money. It's a huge deal with us now, and it's something that we're going to keep pushing. And you know, this isn't what we're coming up is not probably how it needs to look. It, you know, we put a big ramp up period where, you know, 2023, and there's ways to work around and make sure that it's affordable for everybody. But it's something's got to be done in the future. I mean, it's the fact that Houston and San Antonio have one set of gear at the station
Dallas.
Is absurd.
Dallas too.
Dallas, yeah. It's just absurd.
I know this is going to sound crazy, but, you know, when I was at a hot station, I did the burn-up gear and all that crap. When I moved out to the easy life, you know, where I'm making, like Jim is at, and you're making two or three fires a year, okay? We had, where I was at, we had two sets of gear, and we replaced every 6 years. So, in other words, every 3 years, I had a new set of gear. When I got out there to that station and I hit that second set of gear and it's in my bag, I could have sold it for brand new because I wasn't using it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's absolutely, we have, and so what I'm saying here is there any place for common sense there? I mean, yes, the two is a great deal. But is there any place for common sense?
Oh, I'm sure there is. I mean, you can set up a system.
And gear would probably be.
You could set up an exchange system, an automatic exchange system, just like your BA bottles that come to the scene. I mean, one of the things that isn't in there is boots. And I'm going to tell you, one of the nastiest things in that whole ensemble is boots, because it walks through it, it trudges through it, it sits in it, and it clings to it. Now they're finding out that firefighting gloves are terribly contaminated. Think of all the things you touch with firefighter gloves and where they sit all the time. So, you know, it's just like when we all came in and they switched over to SCBAs, where you had to use SCBAs all the time. And everybody fought it and all this and that. But the reality is lung cancer's down since the advent and use of SCBA. Lung cancer is down in firefighters. So, I mean, it's just the way it is. So, I mean, this is what we need to do. And as an agency that basically leads the country in its health and safety regulations for firefighters, we're like the we're leaders on the forefront of this. Everybody always turns back to us when they do anything in NFPA because 1971, 1851, SCBA, they're all statutory requirements here. So everybody looks back to what we're doing. So I don't mind being a leader. And this is part of being a leader in the industry and part of being a good steward of the taxpayer money, but also of the firefighter safety. So,
Mr. Chair, I'd also like to echo that this is why it's important we also have the mandate cancer reporting in our illness report. This right here would allow us to have an eye-opening experience to see that how many firefighters in Texas are truly coming down with cancer. Regardless of who that burden has to be on, let's get out of that game, but how many firefighters are coming down with cancer? Because when you look at our current reporting system now, and 14 people voluntarily reported that they had cancer this past year, that's a false sense of security for every administrative person in here. And if we want to speak about educating our members of this association or this commission, then that's not good education. When we look at that and we say only 14 firefighters got cancer.
And to point out, Dallas has done a really good job.
We have more than 14 just the organization.
Yeah, well, Dallas has done a good job of identifying that and getting them to come out and apply for the workers' comp benefits and stuff like that, whereas a lot of departments, most of them are getting treated just with their regular insurance, or they're hiding it because they're worried they're going to get fired. And that's we're trying to change that. We're trying to say, hey, even if you're not sure it's being caused by your job, go ahead and file for the workers' comp benefits so at least we can start tracking it and know. Because I think there's 10 times more out there than what we actually know of, especially after they retire.
2 weeks ago, I had three of my friends that I worked with and retired with had cancer or have got cancer and have had surgery. So it's not like it's not known. I mean, we know it. We know what's happening, and we live it every day. But my only thing about this that's going to hurt is how do I pay for it? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to be out there to help me to pay for this thing? I mean, I'm hitting grants left and right, but you know, that's a big hit on us for small guys. That's a lot of money. You know, we've got 60 people that I got to have gear for because I don't differentiate between volunteer, part-time, and full-time. All of those guys are the same. They're all in the same fire, so I'm going to give them the same gear. So that's 60 times your number, 2,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's forever and ever, amen. That's not, and as we grow,
every 10 years minimum.
Yes, I mean if you do ever, you know, you're right. But you figure right now, what I figure is I've got six guys or 60 sets. That means I've got to have six sets on average every year. So now I'm going to go to 12 sets a year.
A lot of departments are doing 5 years and are taking that old set of gear and putting it into storage. And I don't know, how do y'all do it? Is that
they put it into reserve? Ours is at six now, I think.
Yeah.
It came down from eight to six.
And that's sitting in storage. It just rots away.
It's in reserve. No, it doesn't rot away. It goes into a reserve pool, and then when a firefighter gets, when they get 20 guys get contaminated in an asbestos fire, they got to throw all that away. So they have a reserve pool of gear for the guys. There's very creative ways to work around it. I mean, eventually it would probably be better for everybody to have two, and I'm sure up to that ramp-up period, you might need to have some kind of creative system and a creative system to clean your gear, too. So I got to tell you, we need to do better, and it's going to be, might be a little painful, might be a little culture shock, but hey, you know.
But I think you're doing this in a positive way, though.
Yeah.
This is 7 years to start building up for that. This is no different than a lot of other stuff. We're looking
that was an arbitrary number. We just can't say.
I understand that, but at least we're putting it on the table. People start talking about it, looking at it, so it doesn't become, you know, a mandate tomorrow. You got time to start preparing for budgetary to come down the road and look at it. But if we don't start doing something, somewhere you got to draw a line in the sand and say we're going to start today. Because otherwise, we don't ever move forward.
I don't know. How many workers' comp claims y'all have working on cancer in Dallas now? A bunch, I think, right?
Yeah, and predominantly they get rejected.
Yeah,
that's frustrating. Can you use an example with your
your son-in-law and your son, who are young in the industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a father of kids as well, and thankfully they're not going in the fire service. They're going somewhere else. But if you weigh that out, say you start a career in the fire service where your cancer risks are absolutely off the charts compared to any other industry, and most organizations where they could protect you aren't protecting you because of the dollar. And then when you do come down with cancer, you habitually get rejected. So you're on your own. So meanwhile, you got some organizations that are struggling to recruit members just to apply to their organization, and we don't know why. I think it's pretty obvious why. It's not an organization, not a job you really want to go into. And it's frustrating. I just recently was researching in the Dallas Fire Department. We have a lot of line of duty deaths that were from heart attacks and strokes. I was shocked to find out we have never one time had a workers' comp claim for a heart attack on the job in the Dallas Fire Department.
2-year period between, I think, 2013 and 2015, there were 11 applications for coverage under heart attacks, and 11 were turned down.
Well, in Dallas, we'll give you the line of duty death if you die from the heart attack, but right. If you don't get coverage. They reject it. Everyone that's ever been submitted has been rejected in the history of the organization. And then how do you recruit somebody to come take that job?
In the federal rule is, I think you can, if you have it within 24 hours, you get to collect it, which the state stuff is just, you've got to be on duty.
Right. But they're still rejecting it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I think this is going to be interesting, because I remember when we put the 10-year rule into 1851 and all these fire departments were going to go bankrupt. So this ought to be pretty interesting.
Well, Mr. Commissioner, just, and I'm sure there's work being done, but I know we're talking about trying to maybe lead the industry. I think Texas obviously has still got a lot of volunteers out there. We need to figure out a way to make sure that this is being pushed over towards them as well, obviously in combination departments, but in your all-volunteer departments, I don't know how much it's being talked about. Private work needs to be done with SFFMA and make sure that these same conversations are being pushed out there to their folks, because today, as y'all know, there's really no requirements on their gear. They can put them in almost anything, and they're dying the same deaths. They're probably not the frequency that the career guys are having, but
we don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
I think we need to probably carry that conversation out there as well.
I think we ought to push, at the very least, we should push mandatory cancer reporting to the legislature to put it in the statute, but before then we should put it in the rules. Mm-hmm. So I know we've had that discussion before, so first voluntary, then mandatory. Okay. Ken, were you volunteering to be our liaison to the volunteers? Is that what you were doing?
I like it.
That's a yes.
We'll get to work with those guys. So, okay. Thanks, Glenn.
We need to take any action on nothing there?
We need to take any action? Well,
just discussion.
Well, it's going to get forwarded to the commissioners anyway, right?
Yeah, it will be on their agenda in January.
And all those documents will get forwarded to
you? Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, good. So,
item 8, discussion of possible action on setting future meeting dates, locations, and agenda items.
Direct your attention to the queen of the calendar, please.
Okay.
Ready?
Three. March, we have 3 dates possible. March the 8th, the 16th, or the
22nd. 22nd, you said?
Spring break. Spring break falls somewhere.
Eight
some of those
would be good for me. That's before spring break.
Yeah. Eight
is good for me.
You said what are we doing? 18th?
No, what are we saying? 15. March the 8th, I think, 8, was 15, one of them.
8.
8th is good for me.
8th is good for me, or the, what's the other one?
15th or the 22nd.
8th is the 22nd for me. 15th, that's spring break week.
22nd for me.
8th would be 8th, good.
8th's good. Everybody good with 8th?
Good.
Everybody's
8th.
Good with 8th?
8th.
We'll just have to get Wisco to conform. Okay.
Okay, in June, there's only 2 days, either the 7th or the 21st.
Oh, wait a minute. Way ahead of my thumbs. What? June what?
7th
or 21st.
The 21st would be better for me.
I don't think
what's good for you?
The 21st. good at either.
I'm saying.
Sounds good.
I got at least a little blips on my thing. Hold on.
The 21st?
That's good with me. First day of summer.
June 21st? Okay.
September.
What?
September.
So we landed on 21 for June?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What, September?
Okay. The 6th, the 20th, or the 27th?
Is there a reason we always do it on Thursday?
Which y'all always did. You don't have to, but...
That was when Cleve played golf on Fridays. He's no longer here. We can change.
Oh, that's right.
That is what that was.
September. Whatever. I got nothing.
Same thing,
I got you.
That's awesome.
Six is got yours. I don't think I've got mine.
They're all bad for me. So I think he's playing JV, so I play on Thursday nights.
But I got.
Well, you know what?
Good.
September.
I don't care what day we do it. I got nothing.
You saying the 20th on September?
6th, 20th, and 27th.
Pick one up.
20th sounds good.
20th?
20th?
Yeah. 20th at work.
And then December.
Christmas.
13th or
20th?
13th would be better. 20th, it starts getting...
That's too close to Christmas.
Yeah. 13th?
The 6th is not available? The 6th is not available?
13th and 20th,
we've
only two.
13th.
So it was 13th?
13th?
Yeah.
That's not right. 20th, June, that's Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whatever they said.
I'll start in September.
Oh, yeah, why not? Wasn't bad coming up here today. Surprised.
10 a.m.?
10 a.m. Yeah. Unless there's some kind of a incredibly busy agenda for us. Hey, I'd like to thank everybody that came down to visit and sit in today. I hope it met your expectations, and if not, then just blame Wisco. He's not here anymore. So, thanks for all the input. Appreciate it. If you want to comment on that as goes to the commission next meeting, if you can't be there, feel free to generate some written comments or emails to Tim.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second. Move to second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're out of here.